Thank you for listening to the Hope Church podcast. We hope that this message inspires you and encourages you in your walk with Jesus. For more information and resources, visit hopeboone.com.
And you can turn to two openings, John chapter 16 and Romans chapter 8. John chapter 16 and Romans chapter 8. Thank you. Wow, wow, wow. How many of you have been here for the past few weeks and have been a part of our Follow the Leader series? Have you been in that? They've been good, isn't it? As you're turning to John 16 and Romans 8, let's take part in our confession this morning of what we're believing God for. This is what I'm believing for you. Let's declare this out loud today. Thank you, Father, that today the eyes of my heart see you, the ears of my heart hear you, my heart and mind perceive and understand your word and your will. Today, I am growing in the things of God. We believe that we're growing in the things of God this morning. Amen. John chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus is speaking. He said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all of the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Romans 8, 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let's pray. Father, today we come to you again with a hunger for your word, with a desire to hear, to believe, and to obey that which you have spoken in your word to us. This morning, Father, I do thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear. I thank you that our hearts have the capacity to perceive and understand and grow in your very word. Lord, would you speak to us today in ways that we can understand? Make your word come alive in our hearts, we ask you. And we'll be careful to give you the glory and the praise for these things. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, say amen. Amen. So today I'm going to be winding up and concluding our series called Follow the Leader. If you've been here with us, this has been, or if you haven't been here with us, this has been a series on following the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said in John 14, he is the Spirit of truth. And his job, his desire, is to guide us and to lead us in the truth. Now, we talked about that. I don't have time to re-preach all of it as much as I might like to do that. But if you want to catch up on that, you can visit our website or visit our Facebook profile and find the previous services and get caught up via the podcast or however you'd like to. But we've been talking about following the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our leader. Every time I've been working on these notes, I keep thinking about like little Martian cartoons from back when I was a kid, and they would, you know, the little Martian people would land and they'd get out and they'd say, take me to your leader. And I just think it's so funny because the leader of the Christian is the Spirit of truth. For the Christian, for the believer, for someone who has said yes to Jesus in their heart, his Spirit takes up residence on the inside of us. The Bible's very clear about this, that the Bible says that whoever is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We are connected eternally to our Father God. We are connected eternally to God himself by the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us. And the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is that he is keen on leading us into the perfect will of God. God has a beautiful will for your life, and the Holy Spirit wants to bring you into it. He's like a tour guide. He knows his way around the will of God for your life, and if you'll let him, he'll take you by the hand and he'll lead you through it with perfect ease. I want to give you just a quick moment of review of a few of the points. We had Pastor Ken Blunt with us last week. How many of you enjoyed that? Wasn't that awesome? Pastor Ken did an amazing job, but we took a week off from the series. So let me just bring you back up to speed here and reiterate a few things. We said that God has a will, number one. God has a will. We're not just out here arbitrarily floating through the universe. God has a design. He has a will. Number two, we said that God's will is good. Amen? It's good. If you're a parent, you understand your desire for your kids are always good. They may not be good, but that doesn't change your heart, right? Might change your attitude momentarily. Sometimes you want to, you know, but the reality is our God is perfect. He never strikes us out of anger. Amen. He loves us way too much. But his will is good. I told you what my friend Pastor Jonathan says, that God loves me too much to hurt me, and he's far too wise to make a mistake with my life. God's will is good. We said that the Holy Spirit is the revealer of God's will for us. He's actively trying to lead us. And we concluded in the first week by saying, you can, in fact, be led by God. Contrary to what your emotions may say, and contrary to how you may feel at any given moment, Jesus actually said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. So you can be led by God. Do away with the idea that God can't lead you. He absolutely can. Amen. We said in the following week that the first and primary place that the Holy Spirit leads us from is the Word of God. How many of you are thankful for your Bible this morning? Yeah. Be thankful for the Word of the living God. It's the first and primary place that the Holy Spirit leads us from. And we said that the most sure way to hear what God is saying is by dwelling on what he's already said. The most sure way to hear what God is saying is by dwelling on what he's already said. That would be the Word of God, your Bible. What he has said is always the entry point into what he is saying. Why? Because what he has said is still speaking. And if you'll yield yourself to it, if you'll take the time to invest in a relationship with your Bible, you know, we invest our time in relating to all kinds of things. I remember when I first got married, or well, even before then, when Brianna and I first started dating, we were dating long distance. I lived in Florida. Brianna still lived here in Boone. And we, after like the first 3 or 4 months of us dating, I talked to her father, and he told me how much money I cost him in phone bills. It was hilarious. It was actually, I remember having lunch with my father-in-law to ask him if I could ask his daughter to marry me, and because that's what men do. Right? Fellas, if you're under the age of, you know, 25 and you want to get married, you ask your future father-in-law if it's okay first. Amen and amen. Trust me, I got 3 daughters. I can't wait for that lunch. I cannot wait. Oh, you want to marry my daughter, do you? Okay. Well, let's talk. No, I was having a lunch with him and asking him, and he said, do you know how much you cost me when y'all were first dating? And it was some exorbitant amount of, you know, $600? Yeah, $600 one month, because we just ran their phone bill just through the roof. It was before unlimited text and talk plans were a thing. God bless Brian and his long distance bill. But see, I invested time in her. And she invested time in me. We were happy to talk on the phone for hours. What are you investing your time in? What are you investing the most precious resource that God ever gave you, which is your time? What are you investing it in? I want to encourage you to invest it in his word. I gave you 5 realities about God's word. This is still review. God's word is perfect truth. God's word is directional. God's word is wisdom. God's word is relevant. And God's word produces faith. You need the word of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need the word of God. Look at them right in their eyes. Get super uncomfortable. Just look at it. You need the word of God. Now today, we're going to talk about, we said that the first way God leads us is through his word. Today, we're going to talk about the second way that God's Spirit leads us. And that is by what the Bible refers to as the witness. Everybody say witness. Yes. By the witness of the Holy Spirit from within our hearts. I want you to take a moment and imagine for a second that you could have access to the wisdom of God's Spirit when it comes time to make decisions. And imagine that you didn't actually have to go anywhere to look for it. I made mention of this last week, that we have people in the body of Christ that run all over the place looking for God's wisdom. Well, if I could just get to that conference, if I could just get an appointment to meet with so-and-so, if I could just have sister somebody praying for me, if I could just, and we have this laundry list of things that if we could just do these things, we might could be able to hear from God. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to go anywhere to hear from God. You don't have to go anywhere to be able to access the wisdom of God. It's not high up on a mountain. It's not going and being a monk and shaving your head and going in solitude and sitting in a cave in a lotus position, trying to figure out, okay, if I could just get quiet enough, I'll hear God. Y'all were worried I was going to fall over when I did this. I'm more limber than I look. No, the reality is you don't have to chase the voice of God. You don't have to chase his direction for you. It's as easy to find as looking into your own heart, because that's where the Spirit of God lives. I like it when the stuff I'm looking for comes looking for me. Right? I like it when the things I'm looking for find me first. Imagine if the answers to the deepest and most challenging questions of your life were already on the inside of your heart by way of the Holy Spirit. Because, can I tell you something? In every situation and in every one of life's questions and problems, there is a divine solution. I need you to understand that. I need you to tattoo that into your heart this morning. For every question, for every situation, for every problem that you face, every decision you will ever have to make in your life, there is a divine solution. God has an answer to every question you could ever come up with. In fact, God's so cool, he has like 5 answers or 10 answers for every possible question that you could come up with. I want you to get that this morning, because I never want you to be at a loss. I talk to so many people that ask me to pray with them for wisdom, and I'm always glad to do it. But I never want you to live at a loss for direction. And the reality is, you don't have to. You don't have to spend another day of your life wondering and wandering. Amen. Who does that belong to? Wandering and wandering. That belongs to those whose hearts are darkened by sin, those who don't know Jesus. The Bible talks about it, they wander through the world, not knowing which way to turn. That's not us. We're Christians. Amen. Amen? Okay, we're Christians. We've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us right now. That means we have access to all of heaven's wisdom. That means we have access to all of God's best plans for our lives right now. If you're born again, God's already on the inside, so you don't have to go far to find him. See, part of my goal today is to demystify what it means to hear from God. Because we talk about hearing God, we talk about being led by his Spirit, and it almost sounds spooky. It almost sounds mysterious, as though the Holy Spirit was, you know, Casper the Friendly Ghost, and we're just trying to track him down, and maybe he can give us, you know, rub the genie lamp, and we'll get some information. No. It's so easy to hear God. How hard is it to hear a voice that's in you? I mean, it might be, I could understand it being hard to hear from God if God was way out there somewhere. And you have to, you know, climb every mountain, ford every stream, you know, to get to him. Some of you got the Sound of Music. I'm every mountain. I could understand if you had to do that to get to him. But the thing is, he already lives on the inside. How hard is it to hear somebody that's in you? Amen. Can you hear your own thoughts? This is an honest question. Can you hear your own thoughts? Do you know he's closer than your own thoughts? He's closer than your own thoughts. Your thoughts are a part of your soul. But the Bible says those who are joined to the Lord are one spirit with him. You have a spirit-to-spirit connection with God. The closest you can be to God, you already are. How hard is it to hear him? Go with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, verse 16. We'll read that again. Actually, we haven't read that one yet. Romans 8, 16. I told you that the second way God leads us is by the witness of his Spirit. Here's where that language comes from in Scripture. Romans 8, 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our own spirit that we are children of God. This is where that language of a witness comes from in Scripture. What is a witness? Somebody who's seen something and is now telling about it. Do you ever watch a courtroom drama? You know what I'm talking about? Or Judge Judy, or one of those kinds of things. I'm in a goofy mood this morning. I'm just going to tell you that right now. You watch a courtroom drama, and you see that there's a witness on the witness stand. And what is the witness on the witness stand doing? They're giving a testimony. They have a credible testimony that they are sharing and revealing. They're telling about what they have seen and what they know. Did the defendant come in this, you know, the building and do X, Y, and Z? Yes, Your Honor, I saw him do that. And the Bible says here, the Bible uses that language to describe what the Holy Spirit does in us and for us. The Holy Spirit is a credible testimony of the wisdom of God's will for your life. The Holy Spirit, I said it before, he's like a tour guide. I told you a couple weeks ago about last time we took our kids to Biltmore and how they, you know, they enjoyed it for the first 15 minutes. And then they're, you know, oh, more tapestries. Okay, yeah, all right, you know. And me, I'm like in heaven on earth. If you know me, that is like one of my favorite places, the Biltmore. Oh, my gosh. At Christmas time? Oh, my gosh. Can I stay here for twice as long as the tour says I'm allowed to? So we go on a tour, and there's a person there, and they're handing out these little radio things that you put up to your ear, and as you're walking through the pre-planned tour, you're getting all the information fed to you. It is not hard to tour the Biltmore. All you have to do is be able to walk. Serious. Honestly, it's not even funny. It's just true. All you have to do is you just have to be able to walk. And if you can walk, you can tour the Biltmore. Can I tell you that if you can walk with God, he will take you through. The Holy Spirit will take you through the will of God at telling you exactly where to turn right, where to turn left. And while you're going, he'll be talking to you at the same time. Hey, check this out. Look up there. Let me tell you about this tapestry. Let me show you where that piece of art came from. He bears witness with us. He is a witness with a credible testimony regarding God's will. John 15 is just the passage before the one that we read. And you don't have to turn there, just listen to it. John 15, 26, 27 says, when the Helper has come, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you will also bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. In other words, Jesus is saying when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to tell you everything you need to know about Jesus. He's going to tell you everything you could ever possibly want to know. He's the revealer. And he says it's going to make sense to you because you've been with me from the beginning. The Holy Spirit has a credible testimony regarding God's will for your life, and he's ready to bear witness to it or to talk about it to you. Imagine that there's a courtroom drama going on in your heart when it's time to make a decision. I just want you to think for a second. Imagine that when it's time to make a decision about who to marry or where to go to college or what job to get or what house to buy or which vehicle to buy or what, doesn't matter, when it comes to raising kids, Lord, how do we parent really effectively when it comes time to make those kinds of decisions? Imagine that in your heart there's a courtroom drama going on and you're asking all these questions and the Holy Spirit's on the witness stand saying, this way, that way, here we go. This one, yes, no, yes, no, definitely yes, definitely no. He's not going to lead you into sin. He's not going to lead you into a lie. So the big takeaway is, and this is honestly a very encouraging reality, that the answer is already inside of you because of the Holy Spirit. And he's ready to share God's will with you like a witness on a stand. He's ready to give you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. As I said before, it's easy to follow the Holy Spirit. Now, how does this work? Okay? We got about 15 minutes left, and I want to unpack how this works, because the Old Testament gives us a really cool picture about how this works. How does the Holy Spirit bear witness in our hearts? Well, when we look at the history of Israel, y'all still with me this morning? You doing okay? All right. When we look at the history of Israel, God always, everybody say always, always provided leadership to them. Always. Even when they were rebellious, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, God still led them. That's cool, because you have a better covenant than they did. We just had communion about it a few minutes ago. The covenant that you and I have with Christ Jesus is far greater than the covenant that the Israelites had. And even when they were at their most rebellious point, he still loved them enough to lead them, man. Glory to God. God always led his people, and he was always willing to lead them through various external ways. The key reality here is that when God led the Israelites, he had to do it externally, because he didn't live in them yet. The blood of Jesus hadn't been shed, so there was no remission of their sins. There was just a covering of their sins called the atonement. I don't have time to get into it, but ask me another day. Their sins were covered over, so God had to live. Best he could do was to lead them externally. Okay? Now, he did that in a variety of ways. Sometimes God sent an angel to give divine instruction. In the wilderness, how many of you remember when the children of Israel had come out of Egypt and they're wandering in the wilderness, and the Bible says that they had a pillar of fire by day or by night and a pillar of cloud by day. Let me say that again. A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. How hard is it to follow a giant flaming pillar that goes from earth to heaven through a desert? Not hard. Easy to see. When Gideon, how many of you remember Gideon? When he needed to hear from God, he put a lamb's wool fleece out on his front lawn. And God caused the dew to be everywhere on the ground except for the fleece. And if that wasn't enough, the next day Gideon goes, "All right, Lord, flip it." And the following morning the dew was on the fleece and not on the grass. See, God was so kind, he was so merciful that he would lead them through all these external ways. God led his people by a host of different ways, but perhaps the most profound method was through the garments of the high priest. How many of you know about the high priest's garments? Anybody? This will be a lesson for some and remedial for others. This is super cool. The priestly garments, from their construction, their placement, and from the way that they were used, give us an amazingly intricate and detailed prophetic picture of our own personal interactions with the Spirit of God today. This is super cool. I hope that you nerd out on this as much as I have. In the old covenant in Israel, the high priest wore a robe called an ephod. And there, I think you can get those over at Belk's. The high priest wore a robe called an ephod as the top layer above the other robes that he wore. And this, on this ephod, I'm going to show you a picture of it in a second. On this ephod was woven in a large golden breastplate which had 12 precious stones or jewels on it, each of them representing one of the 12 tribes of Israel. Let me see that picture if you could, guys. This is Aaron, okay? Aaron was Moses' brother, and he was the very first high priest in Israel, okay? And if you're wondering, this is an actual picture of Aaron. This is him. I got it off of his Instagram this morning. That's him. The caption said, "Feeling cute, might do a sacrifice today." Okay? It's true. It's very true. This is Aaron's got an Instagram. No, look on his chest there. You see that big Hershey bar that's on his chest? It's not Hershey's, it's gold. And there was 12 precious stones, one each for the tribe, for each, stop laughing. One for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. And this was what he wore when he went. You'll notice there's incense in his hand. Why? Because he is going into the holy place to make sacrifice for the children of Israel, okay? He wore this in before the presence of the Lord, okay? Let me read this to you. Exodus 28:28 says, "And they shall bind the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, so that it may lie on the skillfully woven band of the ephod, so that the breastpiece shall not come loose from the ephod. So Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastpiece of judgment on his heart when he goes into the holy place to bring them to regular remembrance before the Lord." Verse 30, "And in the breastpiece of judgment you shall put the Urim and the Thummim." Everybody say Urim and Thummim. Urim and Thummim. Sounds interesting. "And they shall be on Aaron's heart when he goes before the Lord. Thus Aaron shall bear the judgment of the people of Israel on his heart before the Lord Almighty." Okay, all right. We've introduced a couple weird words and different things. Here's Aaron with his breastpiece. On the front side of it are the 12 tribes of Israel represented. But you notice in verse 30 of what we just read in Exodus, it said, "In the breastpiece you shall put the Urim and the Thummim." The Urim and the Thummim were two additional unique stones that were placed on the inside of the breastplate. One stone was marked with Hebrew letters to represent yes, and the other was marked to represent no. The way that these stones, this is amazing, the way that these stones worked, according to Jewish law and tradition, is that when the high priest would go consult the Lord for direction or to make a decision on the behalf of the people, one of the stones would light up, indicating whether God was saying yes or no. The Urim and the Thummim. Now, I think it's amazing that on the outside, you have the 12 tribes of Israel represented. And then it was on the inside that the two Urim and Thummim stones were there. You couldn't see it on the garment. Only the priest could see what God was saying. Can I tell you something? Only you can determine what God says to your heart. Now, we believe in the multitude of counsel. We believe in having, you know, people around us. Iron sharpens iron. We need the help of one another sometimes to hear God. But at the end of the day, what God says to you is for you. Listen to Numbers chapter 27. Oh, excuse me, I went too far. Leviticus 8:8. You don't have to try to find these. I'll just jump into them. Leave the graphic up there, please. Leviticus 8:8 says, "He then placed the breastpiece on him, and in the breastpiece he put the Urim and the Thummim." The breastplate in part represents that which is precious to God. It's positioned over the heart of the high priest and has the thing that's precious to God on it, the 12 tribes. What does that tell me? It tells me that God cares about what's precious to you. God cares about what's precious to you. God will talk to you about what is precious to you. On the outside were the stones that represented the covenant of God. On the inside were the Urim and the Thummim. God talked on the inside about what was precious, which was on the outside. Your marriage is precious to you. It's also precious to God. So he'll talk to your insides about what's on the outside. That's big, y'all. Numbers 27:21, he says, "Moreover, he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire for him," note the language, "inquire for him by the judgment of the Urim and the Thummim before the Lord. At his command they shall go out, at his command they shall come in, both he and the sons of Israel with him, even all the congregation." Notice that the nation moved at God's command. They didn't move until they heard from God. How did God speak to him? Through these two little stones called the Urim and the Thummim. Isn't that so interesting? Now, why is that so cool? Why is that so cool? See these Old Testament pictures, these Old Testament examples are a picture of New Testament truth. just like for the high priest, the Urim and the Thummim stones rested above his heart. In the same way, the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside of your heart. And if you're willing to listen, he'll give you a red light or a green light. He'll give you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. Lord, is this the way I'm supposed to go? Check your heart. Yes. Okay, go. Lord, is this the way I'm supposed to go? No. Okay, don't go. Right? You see, God makes this so easy for us to understand. My kids can get this, right? Our kids understand this, so there should be no trouble for us. Are you seeing the connection this morning between old Aaron, Aaron over here? You seeing the connection between Aaron and between your heart? God wants to lead you by the voice of his Spirit saying yes or no on the inside. Red light, green light, red light, green light. You remember that he's a witness? Remember we said that a few minutes ago? See, when it comes time to make a decision, you don't need to put a linen ephod on. You don't need a big golden breastplate. You've got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, and he'll tell you exactly what you need to hear. One of the things that I like to do, and I've learned to do this, and I'd love to say that I'm super good at it, but I'm getting there. I still got a long way to go. One of the things that I've learned, and one of the things I like to do, is instead of asking God, hey, Lord, which direction should I go? Instead, I like to ask him, Lord, is this the direction you want me to go? Because it shows him that I'm ready to move. A lot of people mask their apathy by pretending that they can't hear from God about making a decision. And I only know this because I've done it in my own life. I sit like a bump on a stump. Lord, which way do you want me to go? But I'm not ready to move. It's amazing how quickly God starts talking when he knows I'm ready to take action on what he's about to tell me to do. Whew. Put that on Twitter. One of the things I like to do, man, is instead of asking God, like, which way should I go? Which way should I go? Is say, Lord, is this the way that I'm supposed to go? I feel good about this, Lord. Is this what you want me to do? No, it's not. Okay, I won't go that way, Lord. What I find is that oftentimes when he tells me no, he's very quick to tell me what I should be hearing, which is where he does want me to go. But I can pretend just as well as the next guy that God hasn't spoke to me. Oh, Lord, here I am sitting on my hands. Which way do you want me to go? You see, this highlights for us a reality, and I'm almost done. This highlights for us a very important reality. And that is that most of the time, for most of the people, we don't have a hearing problem, we have an obedience problem. Most of the time. Pastor, how can I know for sure that I've heard God? Don't make it harder than it needs to be. He leads you by his voice. Red light, green light, red light, green light. Is this the way you want me to go, Lord? Yes. When he says yes, be ready to obey. Most of us don't have a hearing problem. We have a, I don't really feel like doing that problem. Lord, I want to be a voice for your kingdom. Okay. I want you to go to your cousin and give him that $20 that he asked you for. Lord, I don't want to do that. I thought you said you wanted to be a voice for my kingdom. Yeah, Lord, I'm talking about like, I want to preach a crusade in Indonesia. How can I know for sure that I've heard God? Don't make it harder than it is, you know. I remember praying. Many years ago, I was in a relationship with a girl. You gotta say that these days. I was in a relationship with a young lady, and I really thought that I loved her. I really did. I thought that I loved her. And she had two kids. And because I'm a family guy, naturally, like I love family. And I wanted kids so badly. That I thought for sure, okay, Lord, doesn't really seem to fit your plan, but I could see this being your will. You ever had one of those kind of prayers? Lord, I'm pretty sure this is your will, Lord. What you think? I made it so much harder than it had to be when the whole time I already knew she wasn't the one for me. You know what it cost me? Time, energy, and heartache. It's really easy to follow the voice of God when you look at the downside of not following the voice of God. Cost you time, sometimes money, resources, energy, effort, heartache. Don't make it harder than it has to be. I think most of the time, if we're really honest with ourselves, we know we've heard from the Lord. We might just be struggling to obey whatever he told us. Now, I want to land the plane here. For those moments in life where it does seem difficult to hear, sometimes the noise of the world around us is so loud that it is difficult to discern the thumbs up or the thumbs down. For those moments when it seems hard to hear God, God gave us an incredible gift. You know what it is? It's his peace. God gave us an incredible gift called his peace. Peace is the green light in the kingdom of God. It's the thumbs up. Lord, is this the way that you want me to go? His peace comes and floods your heart and you go, yep, I got the green light. I got the go ahead. I got the go ahead from God. Listen to what Philippians 4 says. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 read, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." The peace of God, which what? Surpasses all understanding. Why is that important? Why is it important to follow peace? Because there are times when God wants to lead us into things that our mind doesn't necessarily comprehend and understand. There are times when God is going to ask you to make a decision that feels upstream. And in that moment, you'll have his peace on the inside. Everything around you might be chaotic. Everything in your flesh might be like, I don't want to do this. But your heart's going, green light, peace, peace, peace. Yes, this is God talking to me. In that moment, you need to have confidence that you've heard from the will. You've heard the will of God. You've heard from him. You see, when you hear from God, all the faith and courage that you need to obey comes packaged in that word that he gave you. When you get the green light of peace on the inside, you can run through a mountain, man. You can run through a wall. You can do it all. So long as you've heard from him. And I know that there's been times in my life when my heart has had peace about things my mind can't comprehend. And I know that's the voice of God in my life. And then there have been times where my mind is so wrapped into the decision that I fully comprehend every ounce of it, and I might be excited about it, but my heart's going, you don't have peace. Can I tell you about one of those mistakes that I made in my life? Some of you might have heard me tell this story before. My wife and I, this is years ago, we lost a bunch of money because I made a decision to make an investment, what I thought was an investment, with a friend of mine. And I was so wrapped up in the returns. I was so wrapped up in, oh man, this is what it's going to mean for us. This is where the financial increase is going to come from. Oh, this looks like such a great investment. Yeah, it's going to be, hey, it's my friend. He wouldn't lead me astray. It's a great opportunity. And I talked to my wife. I remember one night in particular, we were laying in bed. I was like, babe, I'm so excited. I'm looking, y'all, this is funny. I'm looking on my phone trying to figure out which Mercedes I'm going to buy. No joke. I'm pricing out Mercedes E-Class on my phone. and I'm laying in bed next to Brianna. I can't wait for this investment. This investment's going to be awesome. And she's going, honey, I don't know. Husbands, can I give you a word of advice from my own life? Your wife knows stuff that you are ignorant of. Amen. St. Marian knows, man. There is, hey, listen. Yeah, that's right, man. Been there, done that. We've done this just long enough to recognize we don't know everything, fellas. Now, ladies, there's some things your husband's going to want to take action on, and he needs to, you know, he needs to do it, so don't stand in his way. But then there's other times where she's got a word from the Lord, and fella, you need to hear it. And we were laying in bed, and I was Mercedes shopping, spending money I hadn't even had yet. And we sent a bundle of cash off to our friend. Lost it all. Now, there's a redeeming part of that story, because I was a salesman at the time, and the Bible says that when the thief is found out, he has to repay seven times. So I took that to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I was stupid, and I repented, and I repented to my wife too. That's another big deal. Marriage, married people. If you're married, you need to be okay with repenting to your spouse, men and women. Okay? Anyways, it's neither here nor there. I repented before the Lord and I said, Lord, can you take care of this for me? And it was less than 6 months later I cashed in on a huge sale and made twice the money back that we lost. And I said, praise God, thank you for redeeming that. But the whole thing could have been avoided, because I knew every ounce of this investment and how it was going to pay off and how it was going to work. And I had my mind wrapped all the way around it. I knew this was going to be good, but my heart was going, and my wife's heart was going, and I was stubborn and I did it anyway. Now, can I tell you a story about how when we didn't miss it? We were shopping for a van some years ago. We were not as cool then as we are now. And we were van shopping. And we had driven around Hickory all day. We had saved up some cash, and we were going to buy a van with cash. This was going to be the first time we ever purchased a vehicle, the two of us, with cash. We're like, this is going to be good. We're not going into debt. Praise God. Awesome. Here we go. Stewardship, right, Pastor Wes? We're trying to be good stewards. So we're driving all over Hickory looking for a Honda Odyssey. And I remember we had gone to a bunch of places. Nothing felt right. We test drove some stuff. We're like, this ain't right. We're driving home. And we passed a car lot, and I was like, oh, we haven't checked that spot. Let's go there. So we pulled onto the property, and God is my witness, and Brianna is my other witness. We pulled onto the property, and we saw a blue Honda Odyssey sitting there, and I said, that's our car. We got in. We test drove it near the Hickory Airport. We drove it up that road, and we were just looking at each other like, yep, this is it. Totally it. Yeah, is this the one? Yeah, this is the one. Why? We had the green light. I mean, I had the green light before we even opened the door. I'm here to tell you that God wants to lead you in the decisions that you think aren't even that important. Who cares what car we get? I do, because I don't want to buy a lemon and have to replace the motor in 3,000 miles. God knows everything, about everybody, all the time. The scripture says there is nothing hidden from his sight. God knows every detail of the universe. And if you let him, he'll tell you where to go and buy school supplies for your kids. I know some stuff that seems so inconsequential, but you never know how big of a deal it could be. We did a Hope and Healing last year. I'm done, by the way, sort of. We did a Hope and Healing service last year, and I for some odd reason, just really wanted to wear my Yankees hat. That's so inconsequential. So stupid. Why in the world? I don't wear hats at church. But I just felt it in my heart. I said, okay, I'll wear my Yankee hat. Best baseball team that's ever existed. So yeah, okay, no problem. Let's do it. Hey, come talk to me when your team has won the number of national championships that my team has. Yeah, we'll be good. I wore my Yankees hat in backwards. You picture me preaching in a backwards hat? It was, that happened. A person came up to me afterward and said, when I saw you wearing a hat, she said, it totally turned my heart around. I felt relaxed. And she said, God ministered to me tonight. She found me after the service to make sure to tell me, when I saw your hat, it blessed me. It caused her to relax. She had never come to this church before. I don't think I've even seen her since. But for that moment in time, she was able to receive because God used something as stupid and inconsequential as a baseball hat to get through to her. Don't tell me that the Holy Spirit doesn't want to lead you. And don't tell me that it's too hard to hear him. Amen. Why don't you close your eyes and bow your heads for just a moment?
Thanks again for listening to the Hope Church podcast. Our church exists to see people from all walks of life know Jesus, connect and grow, discover their purpose, and make a difference in this world. If you would like to connect with us further, or if you need prayer or assistance, please visit us at hopeboone.com, where Jesus loves you, we love you, and your life counts.